Let's take our Bibles, turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As we look in God's Word this evening. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. As we look over this chapter we started this morning, I want to give you a statement that has held up throughout the centuries. It says, every time a man added to or subtracted from the Word of God or took a verse out of context, he was faced with the need of producing a Bible which would back up the heresy that he had just invented. So I'm going to show you some things in the Word of God tonight that will show you and teach you something about something that's coming up. And as we look down in verse number 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. And we, as we looked at this morning, verses 10 through 12, we saw this morning about what happens to folks who follow after that wicked one in that lie. And I don't tell you who the wicked one is, and I want to show you this tonight to preach on the identity of the Antichrist. The identity of the Antichrist. I wish I had a name for you, but I ain't got a name for you, and I don't think no man could possibly say a name. I will tell you something that it's not. You ready? It's not Ronald Wilson Reagan, who has six letters in each name. So how do you know that? He's dead. There is that. It's not Barack Hussein Obama. Antichrist is a military genius. That word genius, don't go with that crowd. And for all the feminists out in the world, it's not Hillary Clinton either. Amen. You know, I've had people tell me over the years, I had this one feminist that accosted me up in Tennessee one time, I was preaching, she said, I just don't like that Bible because it's he. I said, I ain't never heard you complain about the Antichrist being a he. She said, well, there is that. People have a time of it with the Word of God, don't they? Well, let's go to the Lord and ask Him to help us with this tonight so we can see it clearly from the Word of God. Father, we come to You tonight, Lord. We pray, God, that You'll just be with us and help us tonight, Lord God, and do a work in our hearts and lives and teach us the Word of God by the Holy Spirit's power. We pray and claim the promises of Your Word, Psalm 119, verse 18. Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And Father, I pray You'd help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name I pray, and for His sake, amen. As we look tonight at this subject of the name of the Antichrist, his identity, if you know anything about Bible types, the Old Testament's full of Bible types. And one of the types that's over there is the type of Antichrist. There's certain men over there that was a type of the Antichrist. I'm going to read off the list of these names to you. There was Cain, and Cain being the first type of Antichrist, you know he had a mark, right? Isn't that something? That's our first clue that he was a type of something else. But as we go through down there, Nimrod, Pharaoh. Pharaoh was called the dragon over there in one part. Sennacherib, Balak, Caesarea, Abimelech, Ahab, Goliath, Saul, Absalom, Haman, Nabal, Jeroboam. Then we get Judas Iscariot from the New Testament, Herod the king, and then two more from the Old Testament, which was Solomon and Nebuchadnezzar. And what I just read to you was 18 names. That's 3 times 6. Odd, isn't it? As we look at that thing about the 3 times 6 there, being, of course, 18, it's a division of it. The Greek word for 6, this is for all these Greek boys out there, is hex. How about that? That thing just keeps showing up, don't it? The when we get to looking at the Antichrist, he's going to claim to be a king. And in the Latin word for king is Rex, of all things. And he also is a fake god, which makes him a hoax. All these letters end with X. There's something to all that. All them things just keeps connecting together, connects this man of sin with him, the wicked, it says over there. But as we look down in verse number 3, we talked about some of this morning, about the let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. What's that falling away? It's apostasy. It's what you are literally seeing before your eyes in 21st century America right now. I'm sure it's going on in other places around the world, but I look at all our churches and all our people and I see this. We have churches right now who run so many on Sunday morning, they have to have 4 and 5 services to accommodate getting everybody in there. On Sunday and Wednesday night, they couldn't combine the crowd to fill up the auditorium. They know to do right, but they won't do it. And listen, don't ever get trapped in this stuff, because apostasy, as my pastor put it, was this way. It's a hole you step into that doesn't have a bottom. Because when these people fall into apostasy, they just keep going and going and going and going and going. And just about the time you think they can't get no worse, they do. They do. I noticed that as the apostasy will culminate in a worldwide apostate, worldwide apostate religious entity, which would be the Antichrist, because it says in that verse after that falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That son of perdition is the Antichrist. His number, of course, we saw in Revelation 13:18 is 666. He has a sign. What's his sign? Kiss, kiss, kiss. XXX. Love and X's. You don't want me to get my phone out again, do you? Okay. Think about that next time you do your duck face. That's his sign, too. Listen. After we check out here in the rapture, he'll have his face on billboards on every TV doing it. Ain't that something? He lives in a city. That city is a political power, according to Revelation 17. That city is drunken in Revelation 18 on the blood of the saints. It's a commercial, rich, proud city. It's mystical. But in Revelation 17:5 and 18:24, it is damned by God Almighty Himself. It don't matter how well you are in this world and how over you think you are in this world. If God's done with you, you are done. Your time will come. It says about this man in verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, as you read all these pronouns in this thing, I want you to notice something. Number one, the Antichrist will be a man. The Antichrist will be a man. As we study the Bible, that's not figurative language for it might be a woman also, or they, or whatever. God says he's a man of sin. This guy coming right here, he's that wicked over there in verse 8. He's the mystery of iniquity that doth already work, and he's been working for 2,000 years. So let me say something about this man. This man has not been alive 2,000 years, but the son of perdition has. The son of perdition is the devil, and you'll notice that when he's on the scene, wickedness, evil, lies, seduction, deceivableness, all that we read, and especially the things in Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32, that's where he lives. And he takes all them things to church with him and brings them to church with him. So what you're seeing is apostate religion that's fueled by the devil. That's why everybody's saying sin's okay. They're full of the devil. Well, I know they're a sodomite, but I can't count the times I've had somebody come and say, I don't like you preaching on that subject. Why? Because their son, their cousin, their brother, their mama, their dad, somebody's one. Listen, I hate the fact that your relatives got hung up in that, but let's try to help somebody else and maybe even help them out of it. Because the problem we have is we've not called that thing a sin in so long that they put it on every TV show now and nobody writes in and says, I ain't watching TV no more, do you take such and such character off TV. Right. Amen. Amen. It's on all of them now. Right. Now I notice that the Antichrist will be a man and he'll be a Jew. Number two, he will be a Jew. And the reason being, as Jesus Christ comes in as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Revelation 19, Satan is the king of over all the children of pride. Who is it that God calls out over and over and over? He calls out lost people being full of pride. And every time Israel gets full of pride, he warns them about that. So the Antichrist will be the king over the children of pride. The Bible calls Jesus in the Old Testament the angel of the Lord and the angel of God. The Antichrist comes along, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. He's referred to as the angel of light over there. And you know, an angel of light is, of course, a sign. Signs are for the Jews, and guess what they're going to be looking for? That very sign. Yep. Now notice this. As we look down through that thing, that he's going to make a peace concord with Israel after the rapture and all the way up to about the middle of the tribulation. And they're going to fall for it. But they're not going to fall for it because he's Gentile. They're going to go headlong into it because this man will have Jewish blood. I've had people tell me over the years, they say, well, that thing where people believe that the Antichrist will be the Pope over in Rome. They say, I got a real problem with that because all them guys are Catholic. Hey, you're very observant. The Pope is a Catholic. You are, boy, you bet in 1,000. But wait for it. The last Pope was German. I'm not sure what this one is, but they got a guy waiting in the wings in case this guy conks out, the next guy be voted in. He's from Poland, and guess what he is? Jewish descent. Somehow or another, the Pope, listen, Antichrist is going to take that office, and he's going to come in there with Jewish blood to do it, and the Jews are going to say, okay, we see. They're going to say, our eyes have been opened. We follow you, God. That's what will happen to them. And that deceiver, that Antichrist, he'll call himself God. He'll come through there, and he'll go down to that temple, and he'll bring all the rituals of the religions of the world down to that temple, and they'll come to that temple, and they'll rebuild that thing, and they'll honor that man and say, we're glad God's finally here with us. But if he don't have Jewish blood, they'll never follow him. I notice also, if you'll take your Bible and turn over to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. If you look down at verse 37, the Antichrist will be a sodomite himself. Daniel chapter 11. Look at verse 36 to start with, and says, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, again, Jewish connection right there, nor the desire of women. See that? This man ain't going to like women. He says, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now, I want to show you this. This Antichrist is going to be a sodomite. The reason the devil is trying to choke this information out, trying to get you forget you have an Old Testament and, oh, that's just law and you can't do that anyway. He's trying to get you to forget the fact that it tells on him in this Old Testament so much, you might clearly see who he's going to be. One thing about him that you'll understand is that as the stage is being set in this world, we are being set up right now by the sodomite community and by the devil-possessed bunch that they are, because they are under the spirit of this man right here. He's going to be able to lead them too. And all this other crowd in this world that says, well, I'm not that way, but if you are, that's your business. They'll fall right in with them. He'll not only lead the gay pride through town, but everybody else will hop on board with it too, and nobody have a problem with it. Yep. Some of you right now has a problem with it, and what's so sad is you can't see that God calls that thing something that's called an abomination. And for all this crowd that says, well, now the Lord made me that way, no, he didn't. The devil lied to you. The devil lied to you. When God created this world, he created a man and a woman to populate it, not man and man, or would they have died in the Garden of Eden, and they'd never made it out of there. If it had been two women, they'd have fought all 30 days and died at the end of it. Man, it had been all over with right there. Amen and amen. They couldn't agree on what color the kitchen would have been. Amen and amen. But listen, as you look at this thing on the practical level of Scripture, we apply this thing to this day and age. Boy, we've seen that this thing be rushed in on us and being forced on us like has never been before in human history. There's a reason why. They want you to accept it now because they want you to accept him later. Now notice this one. Notice this one. The Antichrist will also be, look over at Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to get over there first. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. A lot of people preach Judas as the Antichrist, but I don't believe that. I don't believe Judas will be let out of hell to be the Antichrist. But if, just in case he is, you tell him I said hello because I won't be here. Amen and amen. Matthew chapter 10. I will show you some similarities between Judas and the Antichrist because he's one of the clearest types of him in all the Bible. But in Matthew chapter 10, as you look in your Bible here, Jesus is calling his disciples, and as he calls them, he called to him his 12 disciples and so forth down there, and he names off these guys, and the last two guys are listed in verse 4. Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now that word Iscariot is not a common word. And if you go studying things in the Bible, usually when somebody's named and got a name behind them, that's usually where they're from. Most times. Not all the time. But the guy right before him, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot. If you were to go look up the word Iscariot, you'd find it means the Old Testament version of the word Kirioth. Kirioth, according to Jeremiah 48, verse 2, 10, 15, 24, and 41, is a place where a guy named Nimrod was at, Balak was at, and that place Moab over there was originally comes from Genesis chapter 19, where we want to have a father with our, or have children with our father, that crowd, remember them? Moabites? And they're of Hamitic origin, and the thing of it is, it really just drives this thing home, is Judas wasn't a Jew himself, he was only half Jew in his lineage. He was half Hamite. So this Antichrist will be a half-breed Jew. He's not going to be all the way Jewish. He'll have Jewish blood and Jewish lineage, but he'll be half Jew and half something else. If he follows that line, he'll be half what he was back here in Judas, like Judas was in the origin of what he was. And Iscariot, that word Iscariot, again, that's just something that's not common when you read your Bible, is it? You don't see that word happen a whole lot, do you? But I promise you, if you go count that word in the Bible, it's going to occur 11 times. 11 in the Bible is the number for judgment and disorder. The Antichrist will show up here and start killing born-again believers and people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that are saved during the tribulation. He's coming to them and executing his judgment on them. Not God's judgment, his judgment. Remember, he's a fake God. And the disorder he brings about is this. When we go looking at that Iscariot through the Bible, the 11th occurrence is the only time it doesn't occur with this Judas. Because it says in there about that, it's in John, I think, 13 over there, John 13, 26, where the Bible says that Antichrist, that man, he says, instead of it being Judas there, that's Judas Iscariot, it's the other Judas, because it says Judas, not Iscariot. See, this man's going to bring a lot of disorder and confusion to this world. Though he will unite them, he'll do it through disorder and confusion. Isn't that something? And I know it's probably just, you know, my imagination, or you could go look it up and see them 11 occurrences of the thing. Ain't that something? Judas Iscariot, he of Kirioth. That's our guy. He's going to be a half-breed Jew. And if you look over at Zechariah chapter 11, a couple of books to your left there. Zechariah chapter 11, down at verse 16 and 17. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 16 and 17. Says, for lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat of the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. What's he doing? Promoting abortion. Isn't that something? Watch his name here. Woe to the idle shepherd. I-D-O-L is the right word to be there. Like an idol. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm. He's going to have a bad arm. Isn't that something? I don't know when that injury will take place. It'll take place in the first half of that tribulation, or he'll possess a man that has a bad right arm. He's going to have a bad right arm. He's going to be that idle shepherd. And it says, upon his right eye, his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. How's that going to happen? Somebody's going to try to kill him, and he ain't going to die. He's going to fake a resurrection for him, too. So this man, he's going to have a bad arm. The Antichrist also, if you notice through the Bible, he's also going to be the son of perdition. Now this is where things are kind of complicated in a way, unless you have the Bible to clear them up. Judas is called the son of perdition. The Antichrist is called the son of perdition. But he, listen, when Jesus looks at Judas Iscariot, and he tells him, what thou doest it quickly, it's after he's possessed. And I personally believe that when the son of perdition is the devil, because he's trying to hide behind Judas, hide behind this one, hide behind this one. I mean, this is not something you've seen but a few thousand times in this world, where the devil will come up in something like, I don't know, maybe an apostle and try to say he's okay, and then later on he gets possessed by the devil. He never was God to start with. But we're looking at God looking back on the thing, and through inspiration of God, it said he's called the son of perdition, and he's going to be just like this Antichrist coming up. He's going to be the son of perdition, and the thing that he'll be is he'll be possessed by the son of perdition, which is the devil. O Lucifer, how thou art fallen, the son of perdition. That's him. And I noticed that when we look at him for the record, I want to tell you this too. Judas never called Jesus Lord. He always called him Master. Remember that thing about these charismatics? Well, no man can call Jesus the Lord except by the Holy Ghost, all that. Well, Judas never did call him Lord either. Go look it up. It's in the Bible, really. Trust me, it's there. In fact, don't trust me. Go behind me and look it up and see. Find out. Don't let anybody tell you something that's in there. You go find out for yourself. If I tell you the sky is blue, you better walk outside and look. Because it ain't blue right now. It's gray. Right? Been that way all day. You couldn't have missed it. Well, except that part where I was taking a nap. I don't know if it was gray during that time or not. But I know this. You always check the references on stuff. Don't ever let anybody mislead you. I notice also about this Antichrist. He's not only going to be the son of perdition, but he'll also be defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, there's a rider that shows up in Revelation chapter 6 on a white horse. And then there's a rider that shows up in Revelation 19 on a white horse. If you don't study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly divided in the Word of God, you will get confused by these horses. The first rider that shows up has a crown. And in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, he has a crown. The writer in Revelation 19 has many crowns. The writer in Revelation chapter 6 has a bow, but no sword. And he's got no arrows in his bow. The writer in Revelation 19 has a sword, but no bow. The writer in Revelation chapter 6 is followed by war, famine, death, and hell. The writer in Revelation 19 is followed by heavenly armies and 1,000 years of peace on earth. Therefore, they're not the same writer, right? I told you the other night this man had a sign. And what he does, he walks around doing this. Can anybody tell me how you shoot a bow? That's why he's got a bow with no arrow. He got this symbol on you. You know what that symbol is? Look at it. That's the Playboy Bunny. Go ahead and say it's peace. Go ahead and say, that's the peace symbol, man. That's the peace symbol. You look like a hippie. Put on your tie-dyes. Listen, peace, man, peace. And what was that thing, peace, peace, when there's no peace? Because what's following him is going to be war, death, famine, and hell. I look at this man and I see this. He's going to be defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Out of all the types in the Old Testament of Antichrist that we see, one in particular I want to point out to you was Goliath the Gittite there. The Gittite. What was he again? A giant. So all you tall people, us short people ain't going to be the Antichrist, okay? If one of the types is a Goliath, I'm going to stick with that thing, baby. But listen to this. Listen carefully to this thing. I will tell you this about the Antichrist, just basing him on looking at that type of Goliath. I don't know if he'll be a giant, but I know he'd be a tall man. I know he'd be a tall man. I know that for a fact that Goliath, just like the Antichrist that is going to be, Goliath was killed how? By a wound to the head. That's exactly how the Antichrist dies. And then God puts him in the lake of fire forever, right? Notice this. Goliath comes from a Hamitic background, just like Nimrod, Balak, Pharaoh, and Judas. One interesting piece of information about Goliath that ties him right in, he don't have 5 pieces of armor or 8 pieces of armor. He's listed as having 6 pieces of armor. That number sounds familiar. It keeps coming up, don't it? Goliath being a type of the thing. But there is good news to this. This Antichrist, this man of sin, will be defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how he's going to defeat him? The same way David took this man out. Listen to this. In one shot. See, when the rider of the horse in Revelation 19 shows up, and he focuses in on this Antichrist, and he comes for him, he's going to try to have all the armies of the world there to protect him. That'll do him no good, because when our Lord comes, he's going to slay everything that's there in front of him with the word of his mouth and put blood up to the horses' bridles. If I'm not mistaken, there'll be this much blood. About 6 feet of blood, right? Can you imagine seeing a valley that's all of a sudden turned into a pool of blood like that? Because they dared to defy the Lord Jesus Christ. I look at that thing and I see our Savior coming on that white horse. He's got everybody around him riding with him. And he comes in and he just takes the man down like that. Just takes him out. And that lets me know something. No matter how bad it gets, Christ is coming. And boy, is he mad. He's going to take out the one that's been doing all the trouble. There will be no time in which the Antichrist will be able to triumph over the Lord. Let me give you some help tonight. You don't have to read Revelation just to find out that God wins in the end. But when I first got saved, I did. I always heard what happened. I wanted to see what happened. And I went and looked, and guess what? We won. I ain't had no problem with it since, because I know this. No matter how bad this world says, oh, we're in evolution, we're getting better, we seem to be devolving the whole time. And sin just keeps on being on the uprise and on the uprise, and something keeps happening over and over. You know what it is? Here and there, God's still saving sinners. Why? He's still on the throne. Any of them that have come to him, he'll in no wise cast out, he says. And I see this Antichrist show up, and he's trying to take over the world. He's wanting to be God and be worshipped as God, things like that. But when I compare the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to focus on him. I don't like focusing on the Antichrist and the devil so much. I don't get into all that stuff like people do. In this book, I look for Jesus. And I'm going to tell you 5 things that showed up when he showed up the first time. John the Baptist was the herald of his coming in Luke chapter 3. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. They said, this man cometh in the spirit of who? Elijah. Interesting, ain't it? Rome was in political power at the time of his coming in Luke chapter 2. Number 3, Israel was unconverted, but they were in their homeland in Luke chapter 2. I noticed that Christ appeared first to believers only at night in Luke chapter 2, but after that, he appeared publicly to his enemies, number 5, at John's baptism in Luke chapter 3 and Matthew 3. Now those 5 pieces of information I give you, don't forget them. Listen to this. When before Christ comes the second time, there's going to be a guy come back from the dead, all right? His name is going to be Elijah, and he is going to be the herald of the Lord. The Bible says over in Revelation, he's going to be one of those 2 witnesses. You know what he's going to do? Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Out of all the midst of the doom and gloom and all the things that's going on, he's going to say, don't worry, children, the Lord's on the way. I noticed that Rome will be in the driver's seat politically, according to Revelation chapter 17 and 18, because that's the city that's set on 7 hills over there. Its colors are scarlet and purple and a gold cup. So they're not in power now. They will be. Because believe me, friend, when whoever the Pope is or whoever takes that office at that moment in time, the son of perdition is going to possess some man. He's going to be in that position. He's going to walk into the UN. He's going to take it over. And he'll have both political and ecclesiastical power of this world in a moment. I noticed that he points out about Israel was unconverted within their homeland. But the strangest thing happened in 1948. The Jews started going back to their homeland. Isn't that something? Now that you know that, and now that you know the Jews are there and they got that thing, ain't it kind of funny how they keep trying to throw them out and disprove this Bible? But for some reason, Egypt with all its armies couldn't do it. And they had what they called a six-day war with them. You know what happened to Egypt? God took them out again. So how'd they get them to leave? They put rocks in 10 barrels and rolled them down the streets. And they thought that was tanks running toward them. They took off scared. So is that in the Bible? Sure is. A wicked flee when no man pursueth. Ain't that something? I notice that Christ will appear to believers only before the last period of Daniel's 70th week starts. And that's in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 through 27, Revelation 11, 1 through 5, Revelation 13, 4 through 9. He picks us up at the first part of it, and then he's going to come back and let everybody see him just like he did the first time. See, a lot of this confusion that people have is because at the end of this thing, he's going to openly appear to his enemies at the end of those 7 years. Let me shoot down a couple of things for you. Number one, there is no mid-tribulation rapture because that thing would have to occur at 3.5 years, right? You know how long 3.5 years is? If you're my age, it's that long. But nonetheless, if you divide that thing up, it is 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Is that right? My math right? I wonder how long Jesus has had a ministry on this earth. 40 and 2 months. 3.5 years. So this Antichrist, when the Holy Spirit is taken out of here, the church is raptured out, he's going to take the next 40 and 2 months and be the Prince of Peace. He's going to tell everybody he is. He's going to say he's God. Then there's something happens right in the middle of the tribulation, and it's not the rapture. Because if there was a mid-tribulation rapture, we'd see this world get peaceful and know, hey, we got here in 3.5 years. But Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. So that kills the mid-tribulation, the post-tribulation, all that stuff. But wait a minute. That 40 and 2 months, that's something, ain't it? There's something about that thing that just sticks with you, don't it? Here's what it is. The Antichrist, for 40 and 2 months, is going to come along and do all this other stuff. About Revelation chapter 13, there's going to something rise up out of the sea. Remember that thing? What'd they call that thing again? The beast. And he's going to be speaking abominations towards the God of Israel. And the Jews are going to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Them crazy 144,000 Jewish virgins been running around, the male Jewish virgins been running around preaching this stuff. And now that thing's coming. And he's come click with them. We've been deceived. A lot of Bible scholars say that this Antichrist will walk into the temple in Jerusalem that's been built and sacrifice a pig on the altar. Well, that'll offend every Muslim and Jew in this world, won't it? Thus, the next part of the little 3.5 years is going to be kind of like judgment of God, because God's going to start raining down stuff then and taking care of stuff. I notice that when we look at all this, Jesus is only going to appear to his enemies when he comes back. He's going to show up and let them see him then. There is he whom we crucified. Listen, when he shows back up, and he's coming, he's going to take his church out of here and deal with Jacob for 7 years, according to Jeremiah chapter 30. That time is called the time of Jacob's trouble, when God will turn back to Israel. We looked the other night in Romans chapter 11. God's not done with that Jew. He's coming back. He's going to deal with that Jew, that wayward Jew. He's got them going over to their homeland right now where they'll be in place. Hey, all this stuff is setting up for one thing. You know what it is? I like that old phrase, it's time for me to fly, because it's fixing to be time for me to fly. I don't know about you, but every time I've ever got on an airplane in my life, I've gotten sick. I've flown, I don't know at the time, and every time. I locate two things, the door out and the bag. True story. Finally, somebody, after 40 years, let me on the fact they make this pill you can take to make you not want to throw up. So I took it and threw it up. But I found out if I take enough of them, I'll go to sleep and sleep through it and won't have to worry about it. I'm not a doctor advising you to do this, but I'm just telling you what my doctor told me. It's better you sleep through it than, you know, constantly make things uncomfortable for other passengers and all that nice political correctness, right? But I look at it this way. Somehow, for some reason, my human body can't take it. I get motion sick. I get motion sick in a car for riding the back seat now. But I know that coming up here soon, God's going to heal me of that thing, and I hope I'm alive at the rapture or I can be healed instantly of it. So what are you going to do? I'm going to fly. What else? So who's going to see you? Nobody. You know why? Because that thing's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be over. Has it ever occurred to you that he's coming to get his children, not the devil's children, his children? He's provided the gospel. He provides the fact that his death, burial, and resurrection and his shed blood pays for sins that'll keep you out of the grip of this man of sin, should you be left behind. He's going to bring about, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to take his people out of here and do a great thing for us. You know what that is? He's going to give us a glorified body. One that will never taste death, sickness, disease, anything like that. And by the way, if there's anybody here who has any doubt at all about the word alcohol and how, well, let me ask you something. Does your crowd not call that a disease? Why don't you go buy you some AIDS and drink that? I said something a few weeks ago. Two potheads got up and walked on. You know what I'm saying? I said, if God made that marijuana for you to smoke, why don't you go smoke one of them cow patties? They slammed their Bibles, got up and walked out. I preached our service. I said, what did I say to them people? I said, I just got mad. I couldn't think when they got up, you know, what would have possibly done that. He said, they're potheads. They've been arguing with me for the last 3 weeks. I said, they're members here? He said, God, no, not members here. They're looking for a place that's going to give that to them, make it acceptable for them. Which is mostly what people's looking for in this day and age, is something that'll make them feel acceptable. Hey, listen, Jesus Christ can make you feel acceptable and get rid of all the stains of sin and guilt in your life. But he does that through his shed blood, not through a preacher that's got lockjaw. If you come to Christ and be saved, listen to this. You got the promise of heaven for all eternity. You'll never spend a second in hell. There'll be no purgatory. And here's the best part. You'll be with him forever that loves you. And listen, the greatest day of your life is the day you get saved. Whatever day that is. For some of you, it might need to be November 5th, 2017. Or you can ask Christ to save you right now and come to him, turn from everything you know sin, turn to him and come to him. He'll accept you and in no wise cast you out. Hey, there's fixing to be a little rough period of time coming up. You sure you want to wait for all that to start happening? Because guess what? We looked at 2 Thessalonians this morning, chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. You won't even know what's happening if you heard the gospel on this side of the grave. He'll send a strong delusion. You'd believe a lie is the truth, and that lie will be that Antichrist. The whole context of the verses 1 through 12 is that wicked, that he'll be revealed and all that. He's the mystery of iniquity that already works. Hey, listen, don't serve him no more. Turn from him tonight and turn to Jesus and be saved. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.